is a touchdown for the 49ers!
Smith in a gun with Gore on his left hip. Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking.
Got it.
Post, and it's got him! Caught! Touchdown, 49ers!
In 1981, Bill Walsh established a football dynasty that lasted for 20 years. The franchise lost its way for a time until a new coach brought back a winning culture.
San Francisco, he shouted, Harbaugh! Harbaugh! Harbaugh is a coach for our return!
What's your deal?
Jim Harbaugh has made the 49ers a contender again. Covering it all is the 49ers Fancast. Hello once again, 49ers fans. Welcome back to the 49ers Fancast. I am your host, Indiana Jim. Thank you for your patience. And I know it's been a long wait through a torturous preseason where we had to endure talk about whether somebody back to the future Hari was going to make the roster or not. And so glad we're down to final cuts. But I'm not alone this time. I actually have somebody with me. You may know him as Superfan Sean by his voicemails, but I figured, you know, he's the only one who bothers calling the show, so he might as well join me as a co-host. Here he is, Sean Farrell.
Let it be known that if you annoy Jim enough, you will get on the show. That's what I'm here to let everybody know tonight. So, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
That's right. No, thank you. I appreciate finally having another different perspective on the show other than my own, even though, you agree with me because I'm right. So,
well, I agree with you most of the time. I kind of disagree on some things, but they're not full disagreements. They're just like lukewarm versus hot, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I'm sure we'll figure that out as we go here.
Right. I'm really in shock right now that you just said you actually disagree with me on things. I don't know. You're fired. No.
I was getting paid? I didn't know this. This is awesome.
It was volunteer. I was giving you a stipend.
Okay. I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, Sean, perhaps a personal anecdote about your 49ers fanhood would be in order.
Oh, okay, let me see here. Well, I grew up, I still live in Roseville, California, so not too far away from Candlestick Park. And growing up, my mom was a huge Niners fan because she thought Joe Montana was cute. And my dad was a huge Raiders fan because he likes violence. So I had a choice, Niners or Raiders. And the Niners, actually, I think it came down to when I was a kid, I just liked the color red. And that was the difference maker, you know? I mean, it's that simple when you're a kid. But I've been a 49ers fan ever since. And the older I get, the more diehard I become. Any takeaways? I know when I was in San Diego, I did get to see the Niners and the Chargers play in San Diego, and that was the last season Jerry Rice was on the 49ers, so I got to see him make some catches. And he did a big lap around the entire stadium, shaking everyone's hand who was there to see him. Unfortunately, I was up top, so I didn't participate in that. But it was cool to see Jerry Rice in person his final season with the Niners.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I never got a chance really to see any of the legends play live. My only interaction, I guess, was a preseason game in Indianapolis and a regular season game. I got to go watch them when they almost beat the Colts, and the only touchdown pass they could get was Joseph Addai to Reggie Wayne, which was rather frustrating, but there it is.
Oh, yes, I remember that. That was really annoying.
It was quite annoying because the defense had Manning's number all day on that game. So, but anyway, I digress. Where were we? I forget.
No, wait a minute. That game, was that two or three seasons ago?
Was two seasons ago?
I think it was. I think that kind of shows you that they had a lot of ingredients for a really good defense because they played some good defense. It just didn't all come together. you know, and every team has weaknesses, obviously, even a great defense. But wow, what a difference from one year to the other with mostly the same players, you know? And yeah, Minuski's on his another team. He only lasted 1 year wherever he was last year.
Oh, really? I think he was with the Chargers, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I'm not sure where he is now, but it's not with San Diego. He got let go.
Leica?
We're going to have to look it up. We'll look it up and put it in the show notes. There you go.
Wait a minute. Are you giving me extra work?
Yeah.
Why? No. I don't want to look anything up and put it in the show notes. You want to find out where Greg Minuski is? Look it up yourself.
All right. Sounds good.
That's my philosophy. But Mike Nolan, I always kind of blamed him for the defense being, you know, having problems. But yeah, I don't know. Singletary was a problem too. But when it comes to the 49ers this year, what do we like and what do we not like? There's not too many changes from last season. Well, I mean, a few additions in the receiving core, but nothing too different coming up this year, really.
The defense is back. Kickers are back. Offense pretty much the same, except what you mentioned. You know, Alex Boone, obviously, on the line. Oh, of course, we lost the quarterback of the future with Josh Johnson, so that was heartbreaking.
Right, yeah.
I stole your thunder on that, sorry.
I was sad. That's okay. I didn't have any thunder left. So, yeah, let's... basically, we return all 11 starters on defense, except for recently announced Paris Harrelson is on the injured reserve and will miss the entire season.
And I thought when I saw that he was... actually, to back up a little bit, I don't mean to jump ahead here and whatever schedule you have for us, Jim, because I know you don't have one. But
I don't have a schedule.
I thought the only kind of surprise I had in the cuts was Bacchiardi, however you say his name.
Bahaka, back to the future, Hari, yes.
Yes, yes. It just seemed like he was always around the football, playing hard. He's always kind of in the action there. But, of course, I don't see him in training camp, and I didn't spend the games just watching him. But just he did enough that I noticed him. So there, that means something, right?
And this then, is why I always say preseason is meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't see what's going on day to day in camp. But when Harrelson went out, I thought maybe they'd bring him back in. Instead, they signed that veteran. And what was his name? I wrote that down
Clark
somewhere.
Clark Higgins.
Yeah, Clark what, 12-year vet, I think?
Yeah, he comes over from the hated Arizona Cardinals.
So I guess maybe they obviously feel he's a better fit and a better talent.
Well, I don't know if that's it. I think what he it's experience, but it's you know, he comes over from the enemy, and he has the inside track, as it were. Kind of like the way the Seahawks. You know, they got Michael Robinson, and that pretty much gave them no advantage whatsoever. So,
well, I kind of see that game we played them.
Yeah, I kind of see that working in the almost the exact same way.
Well, and ideally, he won't play too often, right? I mean, we want Alden Smith to be in the game.
Well, I don't know. He's the backup on both outside linebacker positions right now. But actually, I actually had a thought about this, and this is something that maybe a lot of guys aren't thinking about, but like everybody goes, oh, I'm freaked out about the outside linebacker depth, and I'm thinking, well, here's the thing. You know how Harbaugh likes his kind of his experimental guys?
Right.
We've got DeMarcus Dobbs listed as a two on the depth chart, both on defense and on offense, as a tight end and as a... I guess defensive lineman. I would not be shocked to see because we've got Dixon. They've got Dixon as a second fullback, actually officially on the depth chart as a fullback behind Bruce Miller. Well, if you recall, Bruce Miller played on the defensive side at was it South Florida, I think, and they converted him from a linebacker to fullback.
Right.
And then you got Dobbs, and then you've got you know, I would not be shocked to see Miller getting snaps at a linebacker spot. I mean, I realize they like him at the fullback, and I understand, you know, you don't want to risk a guy getting hurt, but if push comes to shove, I think Dobbs and Miller both could slide into a reserve spot there if they needed him. So I don't know. It's just a thought. You know, we like to look at, we kind of look at depth charts in the way that we look at our Madden depth chart. And, you know, a guy only plays the position that you have him in on the depth chart. So, you know, I think with Harbaugh, it's a little more flexible than that.
He definitely is. I think I read in one of the reports that Anthony Dixon was taking snaps as a tight end in practice also.
Oh, dear Lord.
So they are, include special teams. Don't forget he plays special teams. So I give him credit, man. I'm really glad he made the team. But he really, from what I've read, really committed himself to getting in better shape and just doing whatever was necessary to make the team. So I'm glad he's here because he's a true 49er. You know, he's never been anywhere else.
Yeah, I guess. I like that he's the guy that carries the flag and has the funny haircut. That's pretty much the value that I put on him. He's kind of the new M. Rob, just more energetic. I don't know. I really didn't care whether he made the team or not. I don't know how much he actually contributes, considering we've got five running backs that I would hand the ball off to before him. I don't know. That's just me. I kind of look at him as the special teams guy, you know, kind of the Maverick sort of guy. I don't know. We've got like six running backs. I think we've got Gore. The official depth chart is Gore, Hunter, Jacobs, and James at the halfback, and then you've got Miller and Dixon as the fullbacks. And so there you go. There's our running back discussion for the week. Actually, I don't know. How do you see that working out with all the talent in the backfield there?
Very delicately. Because when you look at all the talent they added at wide receiver, you know, I assume they're not going to run the ball 60% of the time, that they're going to do a little bit more passing. I still think they're going to play a similar style to what they played last year, but they're going to take some more shots, I think. They're not going to all of a sudden have, right, the quote-unquote spread, right? There's four receivers and Delaney Walker and Vernon Davis. No one in the backfield. I don't see that coming. But I think LaMichael James isn't going to be suited up all the time. That's what I think.
I know he's a rookie and he's sort of in that Kendall Hunter mold. I kind of see he could definitely play on kick return. I see him getting a chance to return some kicks maybe. I think I agree with you that he's probably going to get limited action during the regular season. Just simply because they don't really need him yet. And I don't know, maybe Harbaugh's got plans. Maybe they have an idea of where they're going to use him and what kind of situations. But I think obviously Frank Gore is going to get the lion's share of the carries. I think when you get in late game situations and they're kind of running up the clock, I see Brandon Jacobs getting a lot of that workload just because I think that's what they brought him on for. You've got to rest Gore because invariably when it gets to about week 13, he starts to break down. Then he usually misses a couple games just because he's so worn out. So I think Jacobs is there to kind of run up the clock and also kind of do some of that short yardage stuff. I see him doing probably quite a few, you know, split backfield scenarios where you get, you know, two halfbacks back there where you get Gore and Hunter or you get Gore and Jacobs or, you know, whatever. I expect him to play around with that a lot. But really with all the guys they have, they've got so much talent that I just think, you know, with a guy like Nolan or Singletary or some of these guys, Jimmy Ray would have a heart attack just trying to decide who to give the ball to with all this offensive talent. So I think it works out well for Harbaugh and Roman because they can just throw all kinds of things out there. And you never quite know as a defense what's going to come at you on any given play.
I want to touch on the Frank Gore issue. See if you agree with me on this.
Okay.
I think Frank needs to be protected from himself. because he never wants to come off, but he cannot finish a season, as you just mentioned. And so I hope he does have limited touches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to win games too, but I don't want the Niners to win, to use him unnecessarily to win games when they have so many other options that they can play with. Because even last year, he was available for the playoffs, but he wasn't 100%, even though he was the closest the Niners have had him to 100% at the end of the season in, I think, 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just he came in 2005, and I think he had like 300 yards or something. But then, you know, 2006, he came on with that 1,600-yard season. And since then, he's been the offense. And I think Harbaugh and Roman have done some to change that. He's certainly an important part of the offense, but you know, I want to see Frank make that 10-year wall. You know,
yeah.
You talk about a guy who's a 49er. I mean, he exemplifies the franchise, even through all the hard times. He's always been there working. He's been the hardest working guy on the team, and you know, that's the kind of guy I want to see them preserve his career. Even if he never gets another 1,000-yard season, he's already kind of, I think he set the franchise record for, you know, consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. And I think given time, if they limit his touches some and not make him the focal point of the offense, and as long as he can accept that, you know, it'll increase his longevity and also increase the 49ers' chances of winning while he's here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I think if they aim, you know, even if they aim for 800 yards ish, you know, I don't see the value of pushing Frank to another 1,000-yard season. I just don't, for the sake of his, I guess, longevity and you know, I just don't see the importance of that, but who knows.
But and let's remember too that for a number of years there, the Niners couldn't do anything else. Everyone knew that if you wanted to beat the 49ers, just stop Frank Gore. So he was getting the ball every time, and he's getting pounded every time. And he's not the kind of guy to run out of bounds or to kind of dive to the turf when he knows he's going to get hurt. You know, he welcomes every hit. So he's taking a lot of hits for the yards that he's gained.
Yeah. And, you know, say what you will about Alex Smith, and I know a lot of people will. You look at the passing game, and you don't just need a quarterback. You have to have guys that can catch the ball. And I'm sorry, when your best wide receiver for several years is Arnaz Battle, you may have a problem. I mean, they brought in Daryl Stonehands Jackson, who was, I don't know, 39,000 years old when he came over from Seattle, who honestly, I think he was a plant. I think he came here on purpose to drop balls. Just to help Seattle, but that's just me. let's see, especially in that Monday night game where, you know, they lost, I don't know, 41-0, and Alex was on a shoulder that was falling off his socket, and Daryl Jackson couldn't even stick his arms up to catch a pass. Anyway, that's, you know, I'm not bitter or anything about that.
No, I can tell. I can tell not
but
at all.
But, I mean, the best receiver that this team has had since 2005 has been Michael Crabtree, and that's not really saying a whole lot either. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you got Crabtree and then after that all you have is, you know, Braylon Edwards did nothing after him. You've got who at the receiver spot? Ted Ginn. I mean, you know, yeah, Vernon Davis, and that's why he caught so many balls, because it's Vernon Davis. But I look at it this way. I mean, you look at the receivers that Montana had just in 81, you know, you got Dwight Clark and you got Freddie Solomon. We haven't even had anybody as good as Freddie Solomon on this team. It's just, it's awful. And we finally have a group of guys who I think are probably the best core of, best group of receivers this team has seen since 2005. Since Terrell Owens left.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it's maybe since, 2003? Wasn't that the last year that Garcia and Owens were there?
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, after that was Brandon Lloyd, but, you know, he sucked back then, and he's still only mediocre now. He's going to look amazing catching passes from Tom Brady, but that's beside the point. They still have Wes Welker and some other guys, but what was I saying? You know, you can't say Randy Moss is, you know, going to be like Terrell Owens in his prime. He'll be better than Terrell Owens is right now.
Apparently. But,
yeah. But if you take, you know, you take into account Vernon Davis is a legitimate number one option as a tight end. You know, you haven't always been able to say that about tight ends, but you take guys like Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, you know, even look at a guy like in the past, like Mark Bavaro or like Jason Witten right now. Vernon's a legitimate number one pass catching option. So you don't really need a receiver to be that number one receiver kind of guy, because this is a tight end sort of centric offense with a tight end who can outrun corners.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't look at it as like, who? Yeah, linebackers.
Yeah, they try to cover him with a linebacker and he'll take him every time.
It doesn't work. They try to cover him with safeties and it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, you know, at this point now, you take Randy Moss, who's a legitimate deep threat, not like Braylon Edwards coming off, you know, a season with the Jets where he looked okay. But Braylon Edwards has never been really fast. Randy Moss can still take the top off a defense running downfield. I mean, you have to respect that option. You can't just leave him single covered, or else, you know, you're going to just be in a jump ball scenario and you're going to lose every dime. So, I mean, they have to respect that, at least with a single high safety, at least with one. And you know that safety is going to be leaning towards whatever deep route Randy Moss is running. Mm-hmm. So, and that just, that uncovers things underneath for Vernon Davis or Delanie Walker or, you know, Crabtree, who's not really much of a deep guy. He's more of a possession guy. But if you open up underneath,
right,
you're going to have room for Crabtree to run once he gets the ball. So, you know, I like where they're going with it. Obviously, nothing's like, it's not like amazing, but I think Manningham was a really good addition. What do you think about him?
I like him. Of course, everyone remembers the catch he made to help knock the Niners out of the Super Bowl hunt. but, you know, he's solid receiver, good hands. And again, what I said when the Niners signed Moss, I told my wife, well, we'll know if Randy Moss still has something left in the tank, and we'll know if he has a good season if every other receiver has good numbers.
Right.
Because if Randy still has game, they're going to have to double cover him, which is going to make it easier for everybody else. So Randy Moss can make everyone else look really good, even if his numbers aren't spectacular, because the defense has to plan around him. So I said, look for Vernon to have a 1,000-yard season. And if he does, then you know Randy was ready to go.
Well, that would be nice. I mean, tight ends don't often get 1,000-yard seasons, and I know Vernon has come close. He did tie a tight end record for touchdowns one year, but
yeah.
I wonder who threw him the touchdown passes. I can't remember. I think some guy named Smith threw him.
Oh, sorry.
Seven.
Sullivan?
Yeah. Hillivan? O'Hillivan. Yeah.
O'Sullivan? Yeah.
I don't know if JTO ever threw him a touchdown pass. I know he threw a lot of interceptions. but that's, again, another famous digression on our part. A lot of people have said that Manningham is like, you know, they said, oh, well, he's just like Crabtree. And I'm like, is that a bad thing? I'm not sure where people were going with that and as a matter of criticism. Mm-hmm. I think from what I've seen of Manningham, I think he's a little quicker than Crabtree as far as on the field. You know, I don't think Crabtree's going to outrun a lot of corners. You know, he's not really fast. I think he was like a, you know, 4.5 40 at the combine or something. I know his foot is supposedly 100% healthy finally. And a lot of people have said that he's running faster than they've ever seen him run. So I guess there's something there for that. Okay. Anything else you want to touch on before we talk about the season to come?
I thought Alex and Kaepernick looked good in the preseason. And I just want to say that I just wish that we had Kevin Cobb to compete with them. I think he really would have made the team a lot better. And I want to put on the record, since I was a Kevin Cobb supporter, Steve Young was wrong, and Indiana Jim was right. So there you go, buddy.
Wow. See, there you go. You can't get any better than that. I like that. That's, I mean, of course you're right. And, you know, one thing that kind of was a small surprise, I guess, I don't know how important the backup corner spots are, but Parrish Cox moved ahead of Tremaine Brock on the depth chart. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I have no comment on that.
But other than that, I think everything pretty much came out true to form. Probably definitely going to see more of Alden Smith. We're going to have to see more of Alden Smith with Paris Harrelson going down. It'll be interesting to see Alex Boone at right guard. I think that's pretty tall for a guard, but I don't know. We'll see. That guy, if he can get low enough, can be a bulldozer.
Yeah, we'll see how many balls Alex throws off the back of his helmet.
yeah, shut up. So pretty much everything is kind of the way most people probably thought it was. I mean, I figured as soon as they announced the signing of Randy Moss that he was going to be the starter opposite Crabtree. I don't think there's any surprise there. There were people, I think, that suggested that the 49ers wouldn't keep more than 5 wide receivers, and I said all along they would keep 6. And lo and behold, they kept the exact same 6 that I told people they'd be keeping. Weird.
It's almost like you know what you're talking about.
Almost. I just thought they would dump Anthony Dixon, but then, you know, what the heck do I know?
Well, and it was going to be him or Cartwright who stayed on the team, because Cartwright was a special teams guy too. And yeah. I know he has more experience, but if Dixon, I just felt after week 2 he was going to make the team because of his age, his youth, and how much work he was putting in and the willingness he was showing to play whatever position they wanted him to play. I kind of thought that would give him the edge. And then he had a better rushing game, certainly in week 4 of the preseason, than Cartwright did.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, maybe. I don't really like his running style, but, you know, whatever. Not a big deal. Let's see. And the other thing I just thought we should mention probably one more time is that it doesn't matter how freaking awesome you were in Division II in college. Some people got to get over their Josh Johnson crush, finally, I think. Oh. I hope. I mean, really, I just, you know, I even said it from the beginning. It's like, it doesn't matter. Division II, hello. Couldn't crack the depth chart, apparently, in Tampa Bay. So, anyway, I liked Matt Barrow's piece recently where he talked about why he figured they picked Scott Tolzien instead of Johnson, which is because Tolzien is much more studious, kind of has more of that analytical steel trap for a mind, and so that way can kind of help. They even mentioned, Tolzien himself mentioned how much more film he can watch than Alex can watch, because he's, you know, doing the installation and stuff, so that Tolzien is kind of that bookworm sort of that can help supplement what Smith is doing prepping for the game coming up.
Interesting. I hadn't seen that piece.
Yeah. So it made sense, though, because you got, I mean, at first I thought they were going to keep Johnson because he sort of fits that athletic mold that Harbaugh seems to like. His games seem to resemble, you know, more closely what Alex can do and what Kaepernick can do. But then what Barrow said, it kind of makes sense that that's what you would use your third, you know, third quarterback for. You know, that's your clipboard guy.
Right. And, so, and you know, if you're going to have that, if you're going to have that position taken, if you can have it taken by someone who's going to be actively contributing, then that's a huge plus.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So with all of that out of the way, we have to talk about schedule. First of all, I'm very, very excited because the 49ers and the Packers get the number one afternoon game on Fox, so that means I actually get to watch it on my regular television. How about that?
Very nice. Very nice. Congratulations. Of course, I'll get to watch all 16 games. So, anyway.
I hate you right now. I really, really do. Not really. So, the first game, the aforementioned Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. I see a win. Easy win, right? Do you see an easy win? Cakewalk?
I don't see a cakewalk, no, but I think they can win this game. Sure they can. I think they can win any of the games on their schedule. But this is a tough one to start off in Green Bay. Really, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to come down to what they can do with Aaron Rodgers on defense. And if they can get a turnover or two, and if they can put Aaron Rodgers on his butt three or four times, then I think they win. Mm-hmm. If Aaron Rodgers has no interceptions and is never sacked, then I think the Niners lose.
Well, the interesting part of this game is it features the two quarterbacks that threw the least amount of interceptions last year in the National Football League.
I didn't realize Aaron had thrown so few.
Yeah, I think his Aaron Rodgers was second to our very own beloved Alex Smith in his interception ratio, interceptions per attempt or whatever it was.
Right.
His was notable because he threw like 45 touchdowns, but
right.
which that can be important if you can throw 45 touchdowns. That's very, very good. The good thing about taking on the Packers in week one is it's still early September, so it should be really, really nice in Green Bay that day. So, you know, they won't have the advantage of being the frozen tundra because they'll still be the happy summer tundra. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'll just be wildflowers and meadows full of deer and rabbits and I don't know where I'm going with this, but
well, and who knows? Maybe Randy Moss will score a touchdown and moon all the fans.
That would be great.
What do you think, though? Do you think the defense? Because I mean, the weakest part of the defense last year was the pass defense, and they did give up quite a few yards to the great quarterbacks they played. Will they be able to slow Aaron Rodgers down?
Well, you know, I don't know. I did they play last year? I can't remember if they had a
I don't think so.
Game
no.
last year. Oh. You know, the defense could be really, really good. And we don't know how good Aldon Smith is going to be. And he was still pretty darn good last year. Obviously, he's going to be a starter now, so he's going to be getting more snaps and asked to do more things. I'm not sure about Green Bay's offensive line. You know, I don't know how good it is. You know, Aaron Rodgers is at the point now where he's taking less hits because he's getting rid of the ball even quicker than normal. He's not a guy you can really confuse. You know, I think I see them playing a lot of man zone coverage, you know, with two deep safeties and trying to let the pass rush do its thing and try not to make too many, you know, big errors against him. You know, I don't know. Again, when I watched them play Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, I know it's been a couple years, but they really had him stymied. I mean, they would change their formation. They would kind of change their look right before the snap. And he kind of, you know, a lot of times didn't really look like he knew where he was going to go with the ball because he wasn't sure what the defense was doing. And I think that was the best game plan I've ever seen Minuski come up with. Now, of course, we got Vic Fangio, which I think he's probably better. You know, I think he's much better as a defensive coordinator, but I just don't know. You know, you can kind of over-strategize things, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they don't want to outthink themselves. But, you know, I think it's going to come down. The Green Bay is not going to be able to run on this defense. So they're going to make Rodgers throw the ball quite a bit. So, yeah, I mean, the key is getting pressure on him. And if Aldon Smith takes the next step forward as a pass rusher, it could be a fairly long day. But you know, Green Bay is still really, really good. We don't know how good their defense is going to be. After, you know, last season they were terrible. And I guess they improved as time went on. But, of course, we also don't know how much better the 49ers offense is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest question mark that people want to see, you know, is how, obviously, how much different is the offense going to look with these, you know, with some new receiving weapons and with Alex Smith having another year under his belt. You know, when you get reports like Mayoko, and Mayoko kind of, you know, everybody says, oh, every year people say Alex looks better than he's looked last year and better than he looked the year before. But, you know, when Matt Mayoko says that he's throwing the ball better than he's ever seen him throw the ball before, and he means like by leaps and bounds, I think you have to consider that. You know, when you look at the preseason and he's not locking that lead leg anymore, and he didn't throw a single interception in the preseason, you know, and his numbers from the preseason are, you know, almost perfect. He's never had an almost perfect preseason ever.
Right.
When people say, oh, he's real good in practice, but when the game comes on, you know, he's never had a perfect preseason. And his stat line for the entire preseason is phenomenal. I don't know if that tells us anything because, like I say, preseason is meaningless.
Well, but, let me add, there was something that was Matt Barros put in the actual paper of the Sacramento Bee, and I don't know if it was ever put on the website. So can I take a second to share this?
Absolutely.
Folks around the country may not have heard this. So most of us know that Alex went and saw this throwing guru in the offseason who worked with Drew Brees and Tom Brady and all that. Well, the part of the story that I found not everyone does know is that when Alex went to see this guy, they put him in one of those suits, one of those kind of sensor suits that he would wear if he was performing for a video game that can track all of his movements.
Like motion capture,
Exactly. And they discovered he still had movement compensations from his shoulder surgery, that he had not properly rehabbed his shoulder. So I'm a personal trainer, so when I read this, and they said how he would slightly move his neck to the left as a movement compensation in order to get acceleration through the shoulder. And it totally makes sense to me. You know, the slightest muscle imbalance can throw off the entire kinetic chain, which is all the systems of the body working together. Now, you can imagine trying to perform at the highest physical level when you have something interfering with the most vital motion that you do as a quarterback. So they put him on a program to correct that. They backed off the chest press. They did more shoulder, rotator cuff and back work. And you know, that's what they think has really contributed to the extra velocity on the ball and the improved accuracy of his throw, because he can finally stand correctly and release his shoulder properly without having to compensate. So I don't think we've seen what that's going to mean on the field, because the preseason was pretty vanilla and they kept all the new toys in the toy box. So it's a huge question mark what the offense is going to look like. But I can tell you this, I haven't been this excited about the 49ers offense in a long time.
Cool. Yeah, I know exactly who the author of that article was. I think his name is Alex Excuses. people are funny.
Well, you know, Alex was very accurate with the ball last year, even with not being completely corrected from the surgery.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, even on the, he didn't throw a lot of deep throws, but he was one of the more accurate deep passers, and everybody said he can't throw the deep ball. So, and obviously, we all know there's been mechanical flaws in his game. And anybody with a pair of eyeballs knows that his mechanics were worse since that injury, and since the other thing with the bone fragment stuck in there, and you know, everything got screwed up. But my favorite part of the guy is he's also a sports psychologist. And a lot of the things that Drew Brees went through psychologically were the same kind of things that Alex Smith went through. When you get to the point where you're doing the best you can, and you're beset by injury, and then you kind of lose your confidence, and you don't, you know, you get to that point where you're just like, screw this, I don't care what anybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. And so they both kind of got to that point. And so my thing is, if he could, you know, I don't know how much of a psychological issue there is, but if Alex realizes more of that, takes charge, sort of letting go a little bit, you know, releasing his, I guess, releasing the inhibitions of holding back and just kind of cutting it loose a little bit. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch and see if there is any difference there. I really like his mentality right now. You know, I think he's thinking the right way about his game and about what they're trying to accomplish. But, that's a good piece. And I think I saw something sort of related to that. I didn't, I guess, read all the details like you just, you know, about the motion capture suit and that kind of stuff. But that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was very telling, very interesting. And he said, yeah, in that, like I think it was that same article, he said that, Alex did, that it was the first preseason he's had where he was able to really concentrate on mechanics and really the art of being a quarterback instead of, okay, what's the new offense this year?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he was able to do that once under Jimmy Ray, but yeah, that was... Whew, what a great offense that was. Let's see. As the season starts out, you get the Packers in Green Bay, so that's pretty hard. And then immediately in week two, they get the Sunday night football game where they host Detroit at Candlestick, which, you know, again, this time it's not in Detroit. The Niners are going to kind of have a better handle on what they're doing. I don't expect as close a game as we got, you know, last season. But I think the Niners can probably pull that one out. So I don't know. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Handshake Bowl 2, 49ers.
Right. week 3, interesting. They go to Minnesota.
That will be a slaughterfest.
You think? I don't really know what to make of Minnesota.
I think they're going to be terrible. I do.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Adrian Peterson is all they're going to have, and he's not even playing yet. And, that's not even going to be close.
Sweet. I like that. Week 4 at the New York Tebows. I think I like the 49ers in that one. Mm-hmm. I think Rex is way overrated. I think he's just about to lose his locker room, and I think it's possible at the end of the season he could lose his job.
I think he will lose his job. I think the locker room's already lost. When you can't score a touchdown until the fourth preseason game in the third quarter, and Rory, whatever his name is, I'm confusing him.
Rory McIlroy. Wait a minute. Wrong sport.
That guy from Alabama, whatever his name is, he's the one who
Greg
throws
McIlroy.
It. Yeah, no, they're going to stink. They're going to stink it up this year. And I'm going to love every minute of it because I do not like Rex Ryan.
Stink on ice is what they're going to stink.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see, week 5, Buffalo. That'll be fun to watch. I really like, Ryan Seacrest. Who's the quarterback there? Ryan something?
Fitzpatrick.
I've always liked Fitzpatrick, even when he was with the Bengals. You know, Mario Williams is going to be coming into town, so that's going to be a big test for one of those guys, Staley or Davis or something, whoever has to try to block him. I could see that one probably going either way because I think their defense is going to be pretty good, but their secondary is pretty weak. So Randy Moss for the win, right?
I'll take it, especially because the. What was that?
I was going to say, can we just make it 16-0 and call it an episode?
Yeah. Well, maybe we should just talk about what games do you think they're going to lose?
Yeah, I think I would pencil in a loss at Green Bay. I would love to see them see him win that game. Just I think it's going to be, home field advantage. I think two fairly evenly matched opponents. Again, it's strength versus strength. You know, it's great defense against great offense, and it's, you know, okay defense against who knows what kind of offense.
Right.
I think Green Bay gets a, I think they're a 3-point favorite if I had to pick in that game. But, yeah, I like them winning the next, at least the next four, for, you know, Detroit, Minnesota, New York, and Buffalo. And then they get the New York football Giants, the New York Eli Mannings.
That's a tough one. I think the Giants are going to be good again this year. I don't think they're going to be one of those teams that wins the Super Bowl and then doesn't even make the playoffs, right? Like they did last time. But I also think the Niners are going to have a whole lot of fire rumbling in their belly, and that will be building up to that game. Think there are going to be a few guys that just play out of their mind.
Yeah, that is a home game.
And it's a home game, so the crowd is going to be going nuts. And once Kyle Williams goes back there and drops a punt,
No, Sean. No, it's like seeing someone going to go touch a hot stove. Stop! Don't go there. you may have a good point. I think the team will be jazzed. I just think, you know, I don't know. I think that game is going to be tough. I mean, a lot of people are, the sexy pick is still the Eagles, which I don't know why. I don't know what the heck they've done to actually make themselves any better, because they're still morons.
Yeah, and Michael Reed's Vick's fine. Not going to play the whole year. It's not going to happen.
I like Andy Reid as a person. You know, I feel for the guy having lost his son and everything. I know it's not the thing, the du jour thing to criticize the Eagles. But, I mean, they just can't get out of their own way. And it's all in their head. And Mike Vick is your number one culprit, you know. It's like, quit making predictions and go out and prove something, which he has never done. He's never proven anything. He had one really good season in Atlanta, and that's it. You know, he's proven nothing. Again, he's another high-priced fad. He's like Cobb in that way. You know, Kevin Cobb was the big, he's the big free agent. And he was terrible. I mean, he had like three good games in Philly, and everybody thought he was the greatest thing. And Mike Vick, again, is the same way. It's like everybody thinks he's great, and he's proven nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he has proven something. He's proven that it was all overrated.
Right.
I
digress. We're not even playing the Eagles. Or are we playing the Eagles?
No, not playing the Eagles. But, you know,
we're not going to play the Eagles.
You mentioned Kevin Cobb. I do think that week 8, I believe they're in Phoenix. And who knows? They're going to be on their fourth quarterback by then, but...
Right.
But still, even, you know, the Niners and Cards always play each other tight. I remember when Singletary's first Monday night game.
Right over Seattle.
Oh, did I skip Seattle?
Yeah, which is probably just as well. I mean.
Yeah, that's the game that's in San Fran, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a win.
For the record, we have the Niners winning 6 in a row before they face the Arizona Cardinals.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they'll lose either Green Bay or to the Giants, but not both. And I think that the Phoenix game could be one that they drop, just because it's hard to play there, and they always play each other well. I remember Singletary's first Monday night game, where it went down to the wire, and there was the blown clock management at the end, and... this fourth and goal at the 2, and they handed the ball off at the 3 to Robinson, whoever got it. That whole fiasco. And that was when Kurt Warner was there, and they were a good team on the other side.
Yeah, but I don't know. I look at it as it's either Green Bay or New York. And I could see both of them being losses, but I really don't see any way that Arizona is going to beat the Niners at all, unless, you know, somebody's injured or something. It's going to be some kind of fluke deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they just don't have it. They gave up way too much for Cobb, who apparently is not even their starter. And it's like, I don't fear the Cardinals at all. I fear the Seahawks more than I fear Arizona.
Yeah. I see it more as a potential letdown game. You know, I mean, it,
yeah.
Even under Harbaugh, it happens where if you lose focus for a quarter or a half, that could be it. You know, that might, you know, seal your doom for that particular game. But I do see a loss. Speaking of Seattle, I know I'm skipping way ahead to week 16, but it's just so hard to play in Seattle. And you have to pencil in at least one loss in the division because the teams know each other so well, and I don't think the Rams are going to do it, but they could be a surprise.
Well, and I think this too, you know, it's really hard to maintain your focus when you've already clinched the division and
exactly.
home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So, I think we could probably look at week 16 and maybe a loss there.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. They'll have it wrapped up by then. And they'll try not to look ahead, but they will.
Week 9 is a bye week. Let's call that a win. Week 10, they're playing the Rams at Candlestick. Not really much to say there. I mean, Bradford, I think, will be better than he was last year, but he's got a new offense. I love Jeff Fisher. I have the greatest respect for Jeff Fisher, and I think he's going to be great for that team and that city, and for the rivalry. You know, I like rivalries. Rivalries are good. But, you know, I could definitely see – I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 – 8-1, you know, 8-1 before they get to week 11 and the Bears.
Yeah, that's tough. They have the Bears and the Saints back to back. And again, they're both kind of teams that are question marks in my opinion. The Bears were looking really good until Cutler got hurt last year and Forte got hurt and then it was all downhill from there.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen them in the preseason. All I know is what people on ESPN say. And we know all the stuff they say about the Niners is crap, so I don't know if I can trust what they say about the Bears. And then, of course, the Saints, who knows what they're going to be like with the suspensions and all the offseason drama. It could be Drew Brees just acts like Drew Brees and carries them to another great year.
I think Drew Brees will always be Drew Brees, but what I think is going to happen is this whole fiasco with the coaches, I think that's going to have a big psychological thing, and I don't think they're going to be any good on the road, but I think they're still going to be really good at home. I just think with that crowd and with the energy, I just think, I think they're going to be looking for a little revenge too. You know, it's going to kind of be the same way that the Niners, you know, at home against the Giants. I think the Bears, I think that's a toss-up game, really. I think that could go either way. But it's Monday night. No, that's a win. the ghosts of Candlestick come out to play. I think at the Saints, I would say the Niners would probably lose that one. Interesting side note, if I can digress another minute. You ever listen to Hill and Schlereth?
I do, but how come a station as big and powerful as ESPN can't find good hosts? Gosh, it gets so annoying.
Well, Sean... because they haven't called us yet.
They should. Of course, I'd have to be first. The Ferrell and Indiana Jim show. There you go.
maybe. The Peril and Flarrel. Ferrell and Peril. No. I've always liked Schlereth. I love Stink. I think the guy's awesome. I don't know about the Hill guy, but they did their picks, and Schlereth had us at 11-5. I can live with that, you know. Having gone 13-3, it was kind of a fluky year and some crazy things happened and Alex Smith had 5 fourth quarter comebacks. But beside that, I just had to throw that in. the Hill guy, he picked the Niners at 14-2 with the best record in the league.
Wow.
And I just don't know about that. So let's say, you know, at this point they're, you want to say 9-2 at week 12. At the Rams, I guess I could see them maybe losing that one on the road if some crazy things happen. But, you know, they're probably not going to fly back to, so I mean, that's what is it? Is that 7 days? Yeah, I guess that is 7 days. Because they're playing the Saints on Christmas Day.
My wife is going to hate that.
Yeah. Sorry, honey.
Santa Claus can wait.
Right. Well, it's 1:30 your time, so, you know.
Yeah, we'll be done by then. Yeah.
Your kids will be up by 6. Yeah. We go, Daddy. let's see. Week 13 at the Rams again. I don't think they're going to fly back to Candlestick. I think they'll find some place to stay in between, like they did before. You know, I don't really think they're going to lose that game. They're going to play Miami.
You know, here's why they're not going to lose that game. Because if they win that game, they will have wrapped up the division at that point, and they're going to take the Rams behind the woodshed and beat them like no other.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's my prediction.
Right. At the Patriots, it's going to be cold. It's going to be freezing. Oh, wait, no, they don't play. I'm sorry, the Saints. They 11:25, not 12:25. What? Idiot. That's not
my
Christmas.
Wife's
that's like that's more like Thanksgiving. Okay, so let's say they beat Miami and then they go to New England. I think we mentioned this before. Hmm. This just in, Tom Brady, really good.
Mm-hmm. I got a loss on that one. Just across the country, Tom Brady. Yeah, I think they dropped that one.
Probably, and that's Sunday Night Football. Oh, I really hope they win that game, though. And then, of course, they got Seattle, which is 2 days before Christmas. In Seattle, it's probably going to be cold, probably going to be wet. Who knows what's going to happen there, but...
You know,
yeah, I think...
The loss in New England might help them actually win that Seattle game. I know we already discussed them maybe dropping that one. But, you know, they're going to be ticked off. Harbaugh hates to lose, obviously, more than the average coach does. So it's going to be a brutal week of practice leading up to that Seattle game.
Well, I don't know if he hates to lose more than the average coach. I mean, you know, Mike Singletary wanted winners after all.
Yeah. Well, let's not even go there. Let's just pretend he doesn't exist anymore as a coach with our team.
Yeah, I think at best we could look at 13-3. I think at worst probably 11-5. You know, unless you know, barring some significant injury, it could be much worse. But I just think if everybody stays healthy and things go, you know, fairly smoothly, you know, I could see it easily anywhere from 11-5 to 13-3 again.
Yeah, I have 11-5. The competition is tougher this year. Their schedule is tough. But I also believe they'll be a better team. So they'll be able to compensate for the tougher schedule. And yeah, I think they feel like they have something to prove too.
I don't really see how much tougher it is. I mean, they still have 5 NFC West games. You know, the only really tougher spots are just teams they didn't play last year. They didn't play New England last year. They didn't play the Saints and they didn't play the Packers. You know?
Yeah,
They still get Miami.
Yeah.
They still get Buffalo, the Jets, and the Vikings. I mean, this is, you know, and they already played the Lions. So if it got tougher, it only got 3 games tougher.
You have a point there. And keep in mind, too, who are they not playing? They're not playing Baltimore or Pittsburgh. And those are pretty tough teams to play.
Yeah.
And they should have won both of those games. That referee screwed us.
They won the Pittsburgh game.
I know, but they should have won the game in Baltimore. Well, who knows if they should have.
Oh, no.
But that Ted
no
Ginn
joke,
pass
dude.
Interference, that was crap.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving game, right. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, so, I mean, really, I wouldn't expect 13-3 again, but somewhere between the Saints, Packers, and the Patriots, you know, I don't think those are the only 3 games they're going to lose, but... You know, I think they could probably win one of those games and then drop one you don't expect,
right?
Like Seattle or you know, Chicago or something like that. So I don't know. It'll be a fun season to watch, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with your picks for the most part. 11-5 is what I have, and God help us if we're wrong.
That's right. So. We've pretty much gone way over time that I expected for this recording. Let's see, anything else we need to hash out? I guess I could play a voicemail from one Sean Farrell, but I think that's probably moot at this point.
A little overkill.
Yeah, I don't expect you to be calling voicemails in now. Like, hey guys, Sean Super Van Sean here. Love the new co-host.
Yeah, he's so fantastic. I am going to be on like every week now, right? Could we make that announcement?
Yes, I would like to announce heretofore that Mr. Sean Farrell, host of the Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing podcast, ding, is going to be joining the staff of the 49ers Fancast full-time.
To be heckled and mocked by all, yes.
That's right, to be heckled and mocked and to try to keep the host honest because, I mean, honestly, it's just been a one-man show around here.
So hopefully, hopefully I can add something to the conversation. That's all.
Yes,
I
hope. Yeah. I hope that finally the show will be interesting to people.
If listenership increases tenfold, then
right. Even if it decreases, it's worth it. You know, just kind of like, yeah, those losers. We didn't want them listening to the show anyway.
Well, no, seriously, Jim. I've done podcasting a long time. You know that. I have listened to a lot of podcasts. Very few podcasts are enjoyable to listen to where there's only one host, and you have done it all these years on the 49ers Fancast, so it's really tough to do. I hate recording 5-minute segments by myself for my show. I almost always have someone else with me. So you deserve a lot of applause for being able to do that. It's tough work.
Oh, thank you very much. I think I will clap for myself right there.
Pat yourself on the back.
That's right.
I know you like to do that.
Yeah. I do deserve that. No, that kind of hurts. I've sort of pulled a muscle doing that yesterday. So, anyway, where were we? Oh, right. So, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do that by dialing the voicemail number. 3477-GO-NINERS. That's 3477-GO, the number 9-ERS. You can email 49ersFancast@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at 49ersFancast. Use the numbers 4 and 9. You can find 49ersFancast on Facebook. If you go to the website, 49ersFancast.com, you can find the Facebook widget thingamabobber there, and you can get us on Facebook, and I'll try to actually post something, maybe, one of these days. Also, very, very important, let's see, Twitter. I already said Twitter, 49ers Fancast. You can follow my non-49ers-related stuff at Indiana Jim. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, folks, if you like to read books, come to adventuresinscifipublishing.com. We have interviews with best-selling authors of science fiction, fantasy, not to mention brand new voices that you may not have heard of, so we can introduce you to someone new. We're always giving away free books too, so it's a good place to check out.
Yeah, you get some good contests going on over there. Also very important, again, if you visit the website 49ersfancast.com, you will see in the left-hand sidebar the banner for the official 49ers online store. If you click that link and make your purchases there for the 49ers fans in your life, a very modest compensation goes to the 49ers Fancast for you following that affiliate link. So I would be honored and overjoyed if you would do that for me. And other than that, I guess that is all we have to say until next week when we celebrate a 49ers victory. Well, Sean, thanks for coming on the show, and I hope that we can make some magic happen here.
I feel it. My microphone is okay. I'm going to get into a weird place here if I keep going to that thought.
Yeah,
so,
it was. I don't really like where I put that. So, without any further ado, I will bid you adieu, which are two completely different words, and we will see you, talk to you, you will hear from us, something like that, next week. Bye bye.